We've had a very special weekend. We've had lay people come from all over our state, far east Texas, far north Texas, and they've come to minister here at Island Baptist. We've had, starting Friday night and then most of the day Saturday, have them come give testimony, lead us in a small group, lead us in worship, and we've had a great weekend. And the conclusion of our weekend actually is going to be tonight, but the main speaker, Don Gibson, was unavailable. But this morning he is, and he's going to be concluding that weekend here with us all, I think with a very special message from God to each one of us. Whether you were part of the weekend, I know some of you are visitors here, you have no idea what we've been going through or what we've been doing here at this church, but I think there's a special blessing in what he's got to say for each one of us. And so I want to encourage you to listen to him. Don, if you would come now and make ready, we're going to listen to what God has to say through him.
Thank you, Pastor, and thank you, those of you that were here through the weekend and prayed for me. I didn't think I was going to live Friday night, but I did. I don't know what I had, but I wouldn't wish that on anybody anywhere. And it's good to be with you this morning. I thought about that song, The Rock of Ages. It doesn't have a thing to do with really the message this morning, but I did some research on it's been a few months ago, about the rock that Moses got water out of. And I thought about that rock. And it kind of leads into really what we're talking about here this morning. But as you know, the children of Israel needed water, and God told Moses to speak to the rock, and he did. And archaeologists have come across a gigantic a granite rock, and it's so big that there's not any way it could have ever gotten there other than God provided it. But all the way through this granite rock, something like 10 or 15 foot wide and 20 foot tall, it's got bored holes all in it. And they come out all the sides and even the top. And it said if you had 1 million plus people and you needed to get water to them real quick, well, how could you get it to them real quick? And the people believe that that rock is actually the rock that God provided water out of. It's interesting, many years later, that same rock that they needed water from again. But Moses made the mistake at that point of disobeying God. How many of you know what God told Moses to do to the rock to get water? What did he say? Did he say hit the rock or speak to the rock? Speak to the rock. What did Moses do? What do you think that one act of disobedience cost Moses? God said, I'll let you see the promised land, but you're not going to go into the promised land. And to me, what we're talking about this morning is probably the process to help us get to what we need to be thinking about in this weekend. Tommy Malone and the team have been leading on this called and accountable. The subtitle is Discovering God's Place, Discovering Your Place in God's Eternal Purpose. And I would say that the majority of Christians, including myself, it took them a long time to discover God's, discovering your place in God's eternal purpose. It's not something that just happens to you overnight. To me, it's a spiritual process. I think the whole Christian life is a process of obedience and following Christ. And learning to be called and accountable is a process of learning how to do that from God. And this six-week study is probably the best thing I know today. This is the core message from Henry Blackaby. He was actually teaching and preaching this message even before he wrote Experiencing God. So I would challenge you, if you've never thought about it before, of how you can discover your place in God's eternal purpose, is to come back tonight at 5:30 and be a part of that. And then even before we end today, you've got a little commitment form there. And I'd like for you to be obedient already and sign up to do the six-week study. It'll start next Sunday night. The church has the workbooks, and you can get a head start on it even if you want to purchase a book this morning. I can promise you that your life will be changed if you will be obedient to the next thing that God is asking you to do. So I would just say that is the next act of obedience for those of you that have been here this weekend, and even if you come this morning. To me, that's the next act of obedience. And really, if you think about the Christian life, it's just one series of our acts of obedience all the way through it. And the message we'll be looking at this morning from Mark chapter 6, is a part of that story. And then there'll be a couple of other passages of Scripture we'll look at. But to me, obedience is a word today that has lost a lot of meaning. I was driving down the freeway not too long ago, and I saw this sign out on the freeway, and it said, Obedience School. Amen? Obedience School, and then down at the bottom it said, For Pets. I thought about, wonder if we don't need an obedience school for our lives. And of course, the Word of God to me is the foundation for that obedience. I'm just going to use this as an example, but I'd like for all the team members that are here that came this weekend, for you to stand up just a minute. All the team members that are here. There are about 19 of them, actually. Okay. I'm not asking you to applaud them. Benny and Anita had to go back, but these people would not have been here this weekend had they not been sensitive to the next act of obedience for their life. Last weekend up in Wisconsin, Minnesota area, we had 90 people from 15 different states that showed up for seven different weekends in seven small churches up there in the Wisconsin area, which is basically a real mission field. And none of those people would have drove to Wisconsin, flew to Wisconsin, had it not been for the next act of obedience. And so I'm trying to make a point here that obedience is a vital part of every Christian's life. And if you're going to be a called and accountable Christian, and you're going to live out your Christian life being called and accountable, you're going to have to be obedient in order to do that. So the passage of Scripture this morning that I'd like to use is out of Mark chapter 6, and it's about Jesus feeding the 5,000. There's more than one version of this, but this one here, if you have your Bible, we'll turn open to Mark chapter 6, and let's start with verse 30 this morning and see if we can pull some spiritual truths out of this morning. Before we read God's Word, let's pray again. Father, thank you for our time of worship. Thank you for the Bible study hour this morning where we heard testimonies about obedience, about how these team members are living out your call. Thank you for the church members that shared testimonies about living out your call. We pray tonight at 5:30 that this group of people will be back here to understand more about what it means to obey you and to follow you. And so I pray that, Father, your Holy Spirit will draw people this morning and draw people all through the day, and draw people back even tonight that are here this morning. Father, thank you that your word is true and we can trust it in everything that you want to say to us through it. Help us to this morning to make a commitment right now that we will obey your word when we hear it. So we pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 6, Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had been taught. And he said to them, Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not seem to, and they did not have time to even to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Now, when the day was far spent, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late." Now, this is the disciples' best thinking. This is our best thinking. Right in the middle of God's great activity, the disciples said, "Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." In my Bible, that's red letters. Jesus said to the disciples, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And then here it is, verse 39. And he commanded them to make them sit down in groups on the green grass. They sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them the two fish, and he divided among them all. And so they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Let's just stop right there a minute. Keep your Bible open, because we want to finish this in just a few minutes here. But when you think about this tremendous miracle of feeding these 5,000, to me, it involved an act of obedience more than once, not only for the disciples, but for the people there. It's interesting, when Jesus started his ministry, that he chose 12 ordinary men. He taught them how to live out, being called and accountable. He taught them everything he wanted to teach them before he was crucified. And he modeled out obedience for them. And so to me, the doctrine of obedience is a very great thing to study through the Bible. And to me, acts of obedience is really what a Christian's life is all about. And Jesus lived out his life of obedience in a powerful way. Oswald Chambers, in his devotional guide, made this statement about obedience. He said, "The golden rule for understanding spiritually is not intellect, but obedience." Now, a lot of people may take issue with that, and they think, well, you're going to obey God with your intellect. No, Jesus said that you're going to obey me spiritually by your obedience and your response to what he commands you to do and asks you to do. He said, if a man wants scientific knowledge, intellectual curiosity in his guide, but if he wants insight into what Jesus Christ teaches, he can only get it by obedience. And he goes on to say, no man ever receives a word from God without instantly being put to the test over it. And then the last thing he said, and I'll just close with this right here. He said, the Spirit of God is always calling us to obedience. And this morning, as we think about the wrap-up of kind of the weekend, in a sense, I think that's what Jesus wants to say to us today. It's interesting. Hebrews 5:8 says, though he was a son of God, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So Jesus, to model out obedience, he had to suffer many things in order to do that. And in our Christian life today, we don't like to think about suffering. We don't like to think about obedience. But that's part of the Christian life. It is to me, I'll be honest with you, I believe that the rewards in heaven will be given out to the most obedient people, to the people that obey God in all the areas of their life. And if you're here this morning, and I believe that one day we'll all stand before the Father, and we're going to give an account for our lives. We're going to give accounts of our obedience to him, probably more than anything else, more than what we maybe have done in religious things. Our obedience is going to be one of the things, to me, that we're going to be tested upon. So Jesus had to learn obedience, and so do we. So I ask you this morning, how are you doing in learning obedience? Now, most of us, if we're honest, obedience is something that we don't always run to. Most of the time, we want to run from it. But I think that obedience, again, has everything to do with living out this called and accountable life we've talked about this weekend. When you look back at this scripture here about how he fed the 5,000, it's interesting to me that Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. And the disciples had a mindset, well, let's go and buy. But Jesus had a solution of go and see. And watch what I do next. But you have the opportunity to do this also. I think Jesus is always saying here, start with what you have before you ask God to give you more. Start with what you have. Start with what faith you have before you ask God to give you more. And then notice he said, have them sit down. Now, what did that have to do with feeding 5,000 people? It had everything to do with it. He wanted them to sit down and be organized. He wanted them to be able, for the disciples, to be able to quickly walk through and feed 5,000 people. That would not be an easy thing if you were not organized, amen? But he had them sit down. And of course, the miracle came as he blessed the food. It's interesting to me, he also commanded them to sit down. In order to sit down, often we have to slow down. We have to slow down. This weekend has been an opportunity for the church to slow down, to come aside, to be obedient to what Christ wanted to say to you through those three sessions that you had with teaching and small groups and the wonderful testimonies that I know you enjoyed. But think about this. What faith you have may be all that God needs to show you a miracle. And I believe that here again, if the disciples possibly had exercised their faith a little bit more, Christ would have done a miracle, but they would have had a great deal to do with it here. I thought about my life and your life. How many here today are in a life circumstance and you need a miracle from God? Well, I want to tell you, Friday night, I needed a miracle. Amen? And how many of you just be honest enough this morning to say, Don, I need a miracle in my life, in my family, in the situation I'm in? Well, God is a God that will respond in some ways sometimes that we don't even have any idea how he can do it, but he does it. So he may tell you to sit down. He may tell you to do the next act of obedience. And for most of you that have been here this weekend and even here this morning, I believe the next act of obedience is for you to be willing to make a commitment to do this six-week follow-up. That's the next act of obedience that God has put in front of you. Now you may say, well, but I don't want to do that. Well, then go ahead and disobey God. Because to me, the whole weekend was an act of obedience for those of you that came. We all had an opportunity to come. But everybody didn't come. And I'm not being critical when I say that, but God gives you opportunities all through your life to experience him. And the next act of obedience can be the greatest way that you can experience God in your whole Christian life. It's the next act of obedience. Not what you've done 10 years ago or a year ago or 20 years ago. It's what you do today in the act of obedience to me that is going to make a big difference in our life. It's interesting when you get through and we read what we did, but look at verse 45. And 46 and 47 here, it says, after they had this great miracle of feeding the 5,000, the people, I'm sure they were just sitting there dumbfounded by what they'd just seen. Notice verse 45. Immediately, Jesus, he made the disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now, when the evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And of course, you go down a little bit further, and you know that they had a storm. But picture yourself in this scene here today, and see if you can get a hold of this. If you're a part of that 5,000, you've just heard Jesus teach, and all of a sudden, the sermon is over with, and he tells the disciples, hey, get up and go get in that boat. I'm sending you away. Well, I'm sure they kind of had a hard time with that, and sometimes we do too. We're right in the middle of something that maybe God is doing, and all of a sudden he says, this is what I want you to do. But they did obey him, and he sent them away right into the middle of a storm, which I'm sure they wondered, what in the world are we doing out here? Amen? I mean, here we are, we're on the mountainside here, we had this wonderful experience with God, and all of a sudden we're out here in this boat, and this storm is coming up, and we're going to drown. But what they didn't know is what Jesus, again, was trying to teach them the next act of obedience. And again, the next act of obedience is really what Jesus is usually, he's right there with it in our lives and in your church and really with your family. To me, what he does here is he's testing their obedience when he tells them to go get in the boat. And he's going to go pray. He knows that storm is coming, but he made them. One translation says he constrained them, he compelled them to leave the miracle scene and leave the crowd and get into the boat. Now, I'll be honest with you, how many of you would want to leave that? As a disciple, you've really seen a miracle of God, but you have to go get in this boat, and you don't know what in the world Jesus is trying to get to, but he's trying to teach them what? Say it with me. Obedience. He's trying to teach them the next act of obedience can really, in many cases, usher in the kingdom of God. So he, on purpose, with intent, was testing their obedience. Warren Wiersbe made a statement like this. He said, Jonah got into a storm because he disobeyed God. The disciples got into a storm because they did obey God. So think about it. Are you in a storm today in your life? Are you being tossed and turned and twisted by life circumstances in a way that you don't know what in the world to do? Well, they cried out to God. Of course, Jesus came to walk into them on the water, and he, again, that miracle there, Peter said, Lord, can I come to you? And he said, come on. You know what I believe? If all 12 of the disciples had said, Lord, can we come to you? What do you think Jesus would have said? He said, come on. And all 12 of them could have experienced what Peter experienced. Now, we know Peter's faith failed, but at least he was willing to get out of the boat. Sometimes we're not even willing to get into the boat for God to do that next miracle in our life. But again, Peter was willing to do that. So Jesus, again, he had to learn obedience, and so do we. I thought about people in our life. God gives us experiences where he models out things that we have to do in obedience. And I thought about a couple of things in my life where the next act of obedience was something that I didn't understand at the time, but I obeyed God, and it was later. And it's usually this way. You never know on the front end what that next act of obedience can lead to. Several years ago, we were doing some simultaneous weekends up in the Adirondack Baptist Association in Upper State, New York. And we had 10 different teams of people that were going up there. And God had provided 10 different coordinators and 10 different teams. And I was just going to go up and kind of supervise everything and be sure everything went okay. It was going to be done in September. And September in the Adirondacks is a beautiful place to go. The leaves are turning. And I was really looking forward to it. One morning as I was praying, the Lord just plainly spoke to me and said, you're not going up to New York on those weekends. And I made a dumb statement but Lord, I'm in charge. And God said, I beg your pardon. He said, you're not going to New York. So I went to Bob Dixon, who was my boss at the time, executive director of TBM, and I said, Bob, God does not want me to go to New York. And Bob said, well, what in the world are you going to do on that weekend? I said, Bob, I don't have a clue. But God told me not to go. And Bob, a man who walks with God, said, well, you better obey God. A few days later, I got a phone call. And the phone call kind of went like this. Don, this is Jim Schemberger. I'm pastor at First Baptist Church, Victoria. And Don, our church is really having a great struggle right now. We're in a storm. And we don't know what to do, and we believe that God wants us to have an experience in God weekend. And God has told me to call you for you to come lead us in this weekend. And he went on to explain some details, and I said, well, Jim, what date have you got in mind? And the date he gave me was, guess what? The weekend's in New York. And most of my good team members were already committed to go to New York. So God said, this is your next act of obedience. Now, I didn't understand it at the time, and you won't either on the front end. But I looked on a map, and I began to call churches around First Baptist Victoria, and I wound up with about 20 people who I'd never met before, and we all came to that church on that weekend. And it was a weekend that I will never, ever forget, because all those team members, just like these came here, well, 20 of them showed up who didn't know me for the most part, but they responded to a phone call that said something like this: I need you for an Experiencing God weekend, First Baptist Victoria, and this is the date, will you be there? And roughly 20 people showed up. One of those couples happened to be, when I started off on Friday night, I looked over here and there was about 20 people, and again, I was totally as having a comfort zone, there was no comfort zone, because I didn't have a clue what God was going to do, but I just knew I had been what? And so God has a way of honoring that you, on the front end, that you don't understand. But he sent 20 team members there. And one of these first couples, I said, introduce yourself, because I didn't know any of them. And it went around a circle. And one of them, he said, my name is Frank Harris, and this is my wife, Lynn. And I said, where are y'all from? And he said, we're from Mayfield, Kentucky. And I said, how far is Mayfield, Kentucky to Victoria? And he said, 12 and a half hours. And I said, why are y'all here? And he said, God invited us. And that's all he ever said. And to my knowledge, I never did find out how Frank and Lynn Harris ever got the word about that weekend. But the rest of the people said, well, we came because you called us. The next act of obedience. To me, that just blew my mind that these people showed up from a phone call from a stranger they did not know. Well, the weekend went tremendous. I mean, God was all over that place. And person after person, it was a weekend where you'd had to run from God to get away from Him. And Sunday morning, the place was pretty well packed out. And we had a great service. I had two of the men on the team wound up sharing testimonies, and we finished the service. And I sensed that we were finished. And I gave the microphone back to the pastor. And nobody moved in the church. That's kind of strange, amen? And he said, is there somebody here this today that your life has really been radically changed because you came this weekend? And I'll never forget, a young man got up about midways back and came forward, stood in front of the church and took that microphone. He was just shaking. He told the church his name and he said, y'all know me, you know my wife, you know my two children. But he said, what you don't know is what I've been going through in my life. And he said, this week, matter of fact, Wednesday of this week, he said, I came home and I wrote my wife a letter and I put it on the bed and I went to my closet and got out my pistol and I loaded it. And I sat down on my bed and put that gun to my head, was getting ready to take my life. And God's Holy Spirit said, don't take your life. Don't take your life. All the things you're looking for, you'll find them at the church this weekend, at this Experiencing God weekend. And he stood before the church that morning and said that every issue in my life, God has resolved this weekend. And he said, I'm grateful to God. Well, it was a tremendous, this church, I can't even describe what happened. A little while later, as I was trying to process that, this thought came to me. What if I had made a commitment to go to New York? And what if I had not been listening to what God was asking me to do? What would have happened? Would I have missed a tremendous blessing? Absolutely. But as a result of that weekend, and by the way, God healed the church that weekend. Amen. And Jim Schemberger, I believe, is still pastor there at First Baptist Victoria. And so I got to thinking about that next act of obedience. And I could just kind of tell you some more acts of obedience. That was, again, a weekend that God just opened up the door that I had no idea all that God was going to do. The bottom line to that is that the next act of obedience is usually before each one of us. I'm convinced of that. I believe that God, through Jesus Christ, is constantly looking over groups of people who will obey Him, who have sincere hearts, obedient hearts. I love 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him." We could say this morning, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the island to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him." So, I'm really saying this morning that I'm serious when I ask you for you to be serious about the next act of obedience in your life. And I thought about in my own life, one of the first acts of obedience that you have to deal with is the act of obedience in personal salvation. And again, I was became a church member and was active in church, but I had never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, and was singing in the choir one Sunday night when God clearly spoke to me and said, "Don, are you going to be obedient? And are you going to surrender and trust your eternal salvation to me?" I had religion, but I didn't have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. And you may have religion, but there's a vast difference in religion and in having a love relationship with Jesus Christ. And I didn't have that. So I had to come down out of the choir that Sunday night. I had to be obedient. Had to take off that choir robe. I had to almost apologize to the church for pretending to be a Christian for a long time. And then the next act of obedience, it took a long time. I thought I got it right, but I didn't. And so the next few years, well, my wife and I were in and out of several different churches. And we were active in the church. We were there. We would have been on a weekend probably like this. Well, I take that back. We probably wouldn't have been. We probably would have found something else to do, because we were not obedient in all the ways that God would have us to be obedient. We were obedient when it was convenient. Does that make sense? You're only going to be obedient when it's convenient to do this. Well, that weekend, several years later, a church we were in had a weekend similar to yours. And I'm going to be real honest with you. My wife and I tried to figure out a way to go out of town, because we didn't want to be a part of that weekend. Why? We didn't want to be obedient. I'm telling you, obedience is a major issue in most of our lives. And you can be a church member, you can be active in the church, but the next act of obedience is something that's always before you. And that particular weekend, I was on four or five committees at the time and was actually teaching a Sunday school class, but we tried to figure a way to go out of town because we didn't want to go to church that weekend. We had our own agenda. But by some miracle of God, by the grace of God, I look back on it now, He kept us there that weekend. And lo and behold, about a week before the weekend, well, the people in the church called us up and said, "Hey, would y'all mind keeping somebody this weekend in your home?" Well, we really tried to figure out how to go out of town then. I appreciate all of you host people that kept a team member. But so we went through that weekend, and the Friday night of that weekend, for probably about the second, maybe third time in my life, I was 37 years old, and for about the second or third time in my life, I became obedient to God. And God absolutely began a spiritual process in our life after that weekend that changed our life forever. I'm here to tell you this morning that the next act of obedience can put you in a relationship with Jesus Christ that's incredible. The next act of obedience can open up a life that can become called and accountable. And that weekend, similar to what you've experienced this weekend, was just a mountaintop experience for my wife and I. A short time later, we went as team members, which was the next act of obedience. We got an invitation in the mail, And our first reaction was, let's tear it up. But God said, no, that's the next act of obedience. And the next act of obedience is before each one of you this morning. We went on that weekend, and it was a blessing from God, and so we began as team members. And then 1 year later, almost to the date of that weekend, I coordinated the first weekend in 1976 at Jones Creek Baptist Church in Freeport, Texas, a church about your size. That was the next act of obedience for me, was to become a coordinator. And so I obeyed God. I was still in the engineering field. Lena was still teaching school. But those weekends became acts of obedience for us to go, as we saw God work and saw God move in some ways that we couldn't dream possible. So the next act of obedience is we coordinated that weekend. I never will forget that weekend, church about your size. And on that Sunday morning, as we gave that invitation time, the people lined up in front of the pastor. And I forgot how many people came to accept Christ that Sunday morning, but it was a multitude. And God had all that there. But I had to respond to the next act of obedience. And I'll make a long story short. It's just been a series of acts of obedience. A few years later, 1982, a major act of obedience, and God said, I want you to resign this job as engineering manager and just be available so I can do this in you and through you continually. It was a major decision for my wife and I, but it was the next act of obedience. So I resigned that position. And that's probably been one of the greatest acts of obedience that God has ever rewarded in our life, because I had no idea on the other side of that one act of obedience that God would literally open up the world to us in ministry. So I make no apology to you this morning for asking you to do the next act of obedience. Whatever that is, in just a minute, we're going to have an invitation, and Bill will be here. And some of you this morning, you may not have a clue about what personal salvation really means, or understand it, but you know in your heart it's something you need, so you need to come and talk to him this morning. Some of you might need just to come to these prayer rails and say, God, I want to be obedient in the next act of obedience to you, and just commit it to God. And pray and ask God to give you the faith to respond to that next act of obedience. And then many of you have that little piece of paper that's to sign up for this next six-week study of being called and accountable. I'd like for you to go ahead and fill that out and bring it down here and just lay it here on the steps this morning. Somebody said, well, why are you going to do that? Because that's the next act of obedience for you as a church. It's not for you to go out the door and go to lunch. It's not for you to think about it. It's for you to respond to God this morning. Most of the things that Jesus asked people to do were instant things. He didn't tell them to go away and pray about it. Most of the things he taught, he wanted an immediate response to the message that he gave. That's why so many people turned away in that first century church. His first sermon to all the religious people in Matthew chapter 4, his first words out of his mouth to the most religious people in the world at that time was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And guess what? Many of them, very religious people, they turned away. They wanted to hold on to their religion. They did not want to hold on to the living Christ, to the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not want to hold on to that love relationship which Benny talked about this weekend. See, salvation is, to me, an obedience decision to where you want to come into a full love relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't just want him as Savior. You want him as that friend that we sung about a while ago. You want him to be everything in you and through you. And so I make no apologies for saying that the next act of obedience for you is before you this morning. I'd like to pray, and I'd like for you to respond to what God has put on your heart to do this morning. And again, don't run from God. Run to God in your decision. Obey God. Don't run away from God. Father, thank you that you know our hearts today. You know everything in us. You know everything about us. You know everything about everybody that's sitting in this church this morning. You know every act of obedience that they need to make. Every family, every couple, every individual. Is it the next act of obedience? So, Father, this morning I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will draw people to salvation. You will draw people to church membership for baptism. You will draw people to make a commitment for the next 6 weeks to do this study of being called and accountable. And the next act of obedience, Father, I believe for them is what we put before them today. And I pray your people who are called by your name will respond to you this morning in the next act of obedience. And I pray this in Jesus Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Thank you. Stand up, please.
What do you need to do this morning to obey him? Do it right now as we sing together.